It was actually a lot more pleasant than it is down here, at, you know, hanging around the zero to plus or minus zero temperatures. It always seems to be a lot more easier to handle.
Oh, for sure, yeah, it's a drier cold there. Yeah, I did. Yeah, quite familiar with that area. That's actually one of the areas I used to try and stay as far away from during the winter as I could was the Kootenays there. I was pulling low beds, hauling heavy machinery with extra wheels on the ground. So, yeah, it was no fun there. And, yeah, I'm at the Creston Salmo Kootenay Pass there. I can't tell you how many times I've put chains up on that thing and, come down, it's sliding half sideways, and, there's just no good way to get anywhere around there, too many hills. Well, once you get past Creston, yeah, you're not too bad then, you know, you get out towards Cranbrook in there, but coming this
Reflector,
way,
Reflector 9009, link active.
Every time I hear the word Kootenays in the winter, I would just cringe.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody just brought up a reflector there, stand by there, I'll just get... I'm going to finish off what I think here. Yeah, Creston, like I said, I remember one year. It was the year that my wife was pregnant with my son, and my son had a hockey game over in Trail, and the Kootenai band in Creston, the chief's son was my son's hockey coach, and he got the band bus, and we were all on the band bus, and it was nice and clear when we left to go over to Trail. Coming back, it was totally, like the whole valley, the whole Salmo Crescent was total blizzard conditions and that, and it was just coming down, and we got partway up the Salmo Crescent, there was no way to pull over, and the snow was so bad that the driver had to put the four-wheels on, stop in the middle of the road, get out and brush the snow off the windshield because the windshield wipers couldn't keep up to it.
Oh, you bet, yeah. Yeah, that's quite the pass. Never been over it in the winter there, yeah. It can be really challenging. I know that hill really well, actually. I know how far I've got to, you know, when I'm on the way down or up. And that used to take me from one side to the other with a full load, like with a D6 bulldozer on or something like that. From when I made the turn just outside Salmo, got onto it, and to come down to the bottom there before the flats of Creston there. That used to be about almost an hour and 20 minutes just to get up and over that hill and back down. Because we go up, we go down the hill, same speed we go up it, you know, because if you get going too fast, well, your brakes won't hold you. And yeah, that's quite the highway.
I'm going to break there and see, was somebody trying to get in? I heard a reflector come up.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anything there. I think the net controller was, I heard Stuart saying yesterday, is a VE6 call, so is he going to be doing it off the reflector, or is he in BC right now?
The Rainbow Country Net, if I'm not mistaken, so. Oh, yeah. No, that, like I say, that is quite climb. The first time I ever went over that was in my 72 Dodge van with a slant 6 in it, and it was kind of funny because I see all these guys telling me, you know, what place I'd camped before the night before. They're saying, oh yeah, it's so hard on us, we got V8, and I think we were pulling our trucks in it, you know, and that, and so all these guys just sort of throwing up there, and I just sort of popped it into second gear on my van, and I just climbed up there, and the little slant 6 just kept going.
I heard that too. That sounded like you said about the reflector coming up. I believe I heard Stuart say the net controller this week is a VE6 call. And I wonder if that's how he's going to be running the net today or tomorrow.
Oh, that would be kind of interesting to have a VE6 controller run the net. I guess we've got a couple of regular VE6 stations. I think there's a couple that actually... Is there one that used to do the net control and is living out there now? I'm not sure. But, well, that'd be kind of interesting. know, it's like you say, the whole, the blueberry balsam, the Salmo crested, all of that in there is a interesting drive.
Yeah, they nobody knows it by that anymore, any of the new drivers. Now it's what is it, Bonanza Pass now, the Blueberry Paulson. I still call it the Blueberry Paulson, but yeah, that one's kind of interesting too. That stretch from if you're coming west from the top of the brake check down to that bridge, that's the steepest part of that hill there. And yeah, I've seen lots of guys get in trouble there, and had a couple scares myself.
Yeah, interesting. I never knew they changed. That's all what I always knew it as. So, but I remember I was working for a forestry company. Like up there, there wasn't a lot of work, and we got these sort of government-made, program jobs that you went out. I was working for a forestry company, and we were working up above up on the mountain, up above the Salmo Crested. So you went in on a logging road, and you drove, up the side of the mountain, and we were doing sitting and spacing and all that kind of stuff up there. And, it got kind of interesting. I remember one day there, it was coming close to lunch hour, and all of a sudden there was a big thunderstorm rolling in, so we went back to the van. And right in the middle of the thunderstorm, sitting up on top of the hill there, the boss says, "Okay, back to work." And I turned around to him and I said, "Look, for one thing, I think it's compensation ruling that I'm not supposed to be working in that. I'll sit in the van. You can dock me my pay." And the other guys all jumped out and went to go to work. And a couple minutes later, they all came flying in and they jumped to the van. He said, "Okay, that's it. Work's over for the day."
Especially being up there on top of the mountain. Yeah, I've hauled some forestry machinery out of that area too there, and yeah, that's not very much fun. But that's funny, we were talking about Canadian Tire there, and it's funny, ham radio related incident. I bought my first HF rig, a Kenwood TS-520. I bought it off a fella up in, just north of Gibson's, VE7... MIH, that's right, yeah, V7, he sold me my first HF radio, and he worked at Canadian Tire there at Roberts Creek, and, was it Roberts Creek? I think that's where that Canadian Tire is, just part way to Seashell there, and I was on my way on holidays there, and we drove with our camper on and everything there, and I picked up my TS-520, so my first HF radio came from Canadian Tire.
Well, you never know. But I'm surprised we're not selling Balfangs. But no, there's, my actually first HF rig was the Kenwood TS-120, and it came from, bought it from another ham up in Creston that had moved up here from Maple Ridge. And so I bought that. I brought it down, and I had it for years. A little while ago, I sold it to Will, WHL, and he sold it to somebody else out there in Maple Ridge. So it sort of it grew up in Maple Ridge, went to Creston. I brought it back down, lived in Langley, or Surrey, Surrey area for years, pretty Langley area. And then it went over to Will in Maple Ridge, and I believe, I don't know where it is now, but it might be over in that area, too, so it's kind of interesting. But yeah, I loved the 120. It was an awesome little radio. It definitely doesn't have the reception or anything as my 991A or my 705. It doesn't have the noise filtering and everything, but it was a very nice little radio, very well built. And it was at the Abbotsford Flea Market. They had one. It was brand new. It was in the still had the box and everything. It had the stock mic and everything for $100. Made of, I had the room in my basement suite to keep more like that. I probably would have bought it, but like I say, the 120 and all those, 120, the 520, the 320, all those radios, in around that era, and I think the 520 and the 320, I think it was the 320. They were, I think, the 320. I remember my uncle's first radio was a Kenwood, and I thought it was a 520, or not sure, was there a 320? Anyway, but like I said, like I say, very nice. They were such a nice radio, so you know, well defined and you know, precise.
Yeah, I don't recall a 320. I had 520s. I had a couple of 820s, and the 820s. I like them, but I always had trouble with that digital readout. That I bought a spare readout actually one time to fix one, and I got rid of all that stuff. And I really wish I would have hung on to my original 520. I shouldn't have got rid of that. I sold it at a swap meet, I think at the Burnaby swap meet there years ago. And I was digging through a bunch of bins, and I came across. I still have the external VFO and external speaker. And that special little 8-pin plug that for the 520. So, yeah, I might be in the market for another one if I find a good one.
I'm not mistaken. I think that probably would have worked with the 122 because it had that 8-pin din on the back for the VFO and everything. Yeah, like I say, they made radios a lot different back then than they do these days. You know, nowadays, you look at the new stuff that you see coming out. So nice radios and everything, but that FT1 or FTX1 or whatever, FTDX1 or whatever, it looks like something that Pioneer would have produced in the 80s. or one of their modern cars, you know, or an in-dash car stereo or something. I don't know. I like seeing radios built for more for function than for style.
Yeah, I'm running I've got a 706 that I used to have in my work truck for years. I actually ran HF out of my rig quite a while ago. A 706 Mark IIG. Actually, I got to take it back into ICOM, get something. It's got a problem, and I've got a 7100 ICOM, and I'm quite enjoying that. And I recently picked up a 705, too, that QRP backpacking one. It's the first radio I've had with one of those waterfall displays. And, boy, is that interesting for band scanning. You know, I want to see if there's any activity to the band. You can just see it clear as day, and I really like that feature, actually.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I got one myself. I've got the two HF rings I got right now. I've got the Yaesu 991A, FT991A, and I've got the ICOM IC705. And I like that radio. Like I say, the display on it is beautiful. The waterfall and everything. It's actually better than the FT991A. I think it's a lot. I think it's higher definition screen and everything. But it's a beautiful. It is a beautiful radio. I got mine mounted in a Roots backpack. I've sort of built up, and I've got to sort of redone the interior of this backpack. So I got all my accessories in there and everything, and it's just, you know, I can pick it up in the go kit and go. And it's a lot of fun. I use the FT991A. I use it at home. Put my little log periodic and head on top and check into the Western Canada Week Signal Net. On two-meter sideband on Tuesday nights, or else the Thursday night two-meter net. And then I also use it in the car. I've got a Wolf River coil with a 17-foot whip that I can mount on the back of the car, and it does a pretty good job. Anyway, Jason, I'm going to have to get out of here and head over to work there. I'm going to say 7-3, and maybe we'll talk to you again sometime. I'm off tomorrow and the next day, but in the near future, if I don't talk to you before New Year's, Happy New Year. And, V7FXY, Foxy, I believe it is, V7 Lima Golf Tangle.
Yeah, you bet. Good hooking up with you again this morning, Larry. And, you have to chat some more about that 705 there. I'm fairly new to it there. I'm just getting used to it. But I'm going to be in Tofino during the week there. I'm going to try and get an antenna up in the air, something maybe inverted V. I've got a couple options there, and try and get on 80 meters. I can't do that here at home in a townhouse. So I'm bringing all my launching apparatus, my slingshot with the fishing reel attached to it. I'm going to see if I can get on 80 meters. So do you check into that, the public service then on 80 meters at all?
I can and then do every once in a while. It's sort of at an oddball time, and I keep forgetting about it. But I've got the Wolf River coil and that on the car, and pump 100 watts into it, and I get into it. Sometimes it depends on how the conditions are. But over the years, since the mid-90s when I got